Okay.
We're recording.
Ooh, I'll watch what I say.
So what I'm going to talk about this time was really from the Pachad Yitzchak Rav Huttner, from Pesach Ma'amar Nun Gimel. And I liked it. I'm not going to be able to do it justice, and certainly not in whatever 40 minutes that Zoom gives me. And if I get everything wrong, it's my fault. Not Rav Huttner's. But we're looking at Parashat Achrei Mod Kedoshim. At the end of Achrei Mod, it goes through all the arayot, all the laws of forbidden relationships, of incense, and adultery. And it's introduced with a paragraph that's in source one. By Debar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Debar al B'nai Yisrael B'mar Teleihem. Go speak to B'nai Yisrael and tell them, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord, their God. K'masei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtem Ba Lo Ta'asu. The actions, the behaviors of the land of Egypt that you dwelled in, don't do that. And the behaviors of the land of Canaan, Asher Ani Mevi Etchem Shama, that I'm bringing you to, Lo Ta'asu. Don't do those either. And don't go in their ways. My laws, my rules, you should be careful to go in those ways. I am the Lord thy God. So the question is, why mention most laws in the Torah are apodictic, which we used that term before. It means without justification. This is it. Do this without comparing it to anything else. And if the Egyptians and the Canaanites didn't do these things, they would be okay. I mean, they're not forbidden because of the actions of the Egyptians and the Canaanites. So the way Rashi puts it is that they're telling us something how bad Mitzrayim and Canaan were. Source 2. Maaseyas Mitzrayim. Magid she maaseyim shel Mitzrayim v'shel Canaanim mekukolim mikol amot. Tells us that the actions of the Egyptians and the Canaanites were worse, were more debased than every other nation. And the places where Bnei Israel dwelled, Ma'akol was worse than any of the other ones. In terms of mentioning these are the most absolutely awful things, these actions there. But still, why tell us that? They're still forbidden, and what's forbidden is not just the worst ones, but even the really only slightly bad ones. Still should not do it.
My question would be, why one or the other? Because Mitzrayim, they knew what the culture was, but they hadn't been to Canaan, and they can't remember what happened 210 years ago, whatever it was.
Right. So that argument, that's where they lived, and also the other side of it is that's where they're going to live. So it's a warning then, in that sense, you're going to live there. And that's the way the other Mepharshim look at it, that it's telling you that the culture you're living in, that determines what's normal. We have an intuition of what's morally right, but that's not some kind of logically reason, that's what we observe. What we see, that's what we expect to be right. And so therefore, we might think that the things that I see that Egyptians are doing, and the thing I'm gonna see the Canaanim are doing, those are okay. That's why you can't do them. That's why you have to specifically mention them. And that's the way Yosef Harshor, one of the Tosafos, puts it, verse 3, K'maseret Mitzrayim, Uritem Maseim, and you've seen how they act, V'inyanam, and all the things they do, Al Tasu, don't do those things, T'inyanimra and Yanamra, because what they do is wrong, and also K'maseret Kanan, Asher Ani Mevi'etchem Shama, that the actions of Kanan, where I'm going to bring you, that's also bad, V'tilmadu V'tirot Inyanam, and you're going to go there, and you're going to see what they do, and you're going to learn them. Don't do those. Lo tasu, don't do those either. Af hem mu'asim be'enai, because they're also despised by me. Im tasu k'maseihem, if you do what they're doing, you're going to Canaan. Maho alti, what's the point? B'ma she'achlafti b'chem, that I've exchanged them for you. If you can do the same things, I'm going to kick you out. Hu'adin l'shar umot olam. That's certainly true for other nations as well. Anything immoral they're doing, you shouldn't do that. Av otam she'hem ro'im. But the ones that you're actually seeing, you know about, you might think that you become used to it, and therefore you're going to start doing the same things. So that's why Hashem specifically mentions, K'maseret Mitzrayim, K'maseret Kanaan, lo tasu. So Rav Huttner is looking at that and has a different approach. He's struck by the end. That one was the introduction to the Parsha Arayot. The end of it concludes. Source 4. Ushmartema tem chukotai vishbatai. You do my laws and my judgments. Lota sumi kol tevota elan. Don't do any of these disgusting things. Hazrach bagera garbat alchem. The native and the stranger who comes into you. He had called tevota el asu adche arz hashem nechem. Because all these terrible things, the inhabitants of the land that are before you, they did that. Maseres cannot. Batitma arz. And the land became defiled. Lotakia arz hashem. And you shouldn't do that so that the land doesn't throw you up, doesn't spit you out, doesn't eject you. B'tamachem ota, when you defile it, kasher ka'at agaya shelef nechem. Just like it ejected the nation that was before you. And so he says, well, the beginning starts out, k'masei eretz mitzrayim, k'masei eretz kanan, don't do those things. And the end, it's be careful, don't do the acts of the land you're going to. That's just kanan. What happened to masei eretz mitzrayim? So this is the way he looked at it. Don't do like Mitzrayim or like Canaan. This is the introduction to Arayot. So Yuma de Parsha, the end of it though, says, and the land should eject you the way it ejected the people who were there before you. So in the warning and the introduction, it mentions both. Gam Eretz Mitzrayim, Gam Eretz Canaan. Egypt and Canaan. B'il ba'onesh shel siyum, but once it gets to the end, once they've entered Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to be ejected, hush metel gamrei Eretz Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is left out entirely. Bein kena adimoy lo ansham shel yoshvei aretz. And all I have is this analogy of what happened to the previous inhabitants of the land. Shuakat aretz, it's ejection from land, that's Canaan. So what happened? So his answer, to summarize it, is that when we say k'masei eretz Mitzrayim, k'masei eretz Canaan, it's not just the specific laws that are mentioned here. It's not just the arayot. Those are two broad categories of laws. There are two aspects of a relationship with Hashem, symbolized by Yitziat Mitzrayim and entering eretz Canaan. So that's source 6. And he starts out talking about the way the Mechilta talks about the Aser Dibrot. First two Dibrot, Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelech Elohim Acherim. The Mechilta says, Laman Emar. Why would he say, don't have any other gods before me? The Fishne Emar, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Because it starts out saying, I am the Lord your God. It's a mashal. We're going to have a parable here, Lamelech, and my kids would all start yelling, a king, because that's how all Mashalim have to start with a king. That's how you do it. And Leah is there waving at me. Hi.
A king.
A king, yes, thank you. So what's the Mashal? Mashal Lamelech Basar Vadam, Shenichnas Lamedina. This is like a human king who enters a nation, takes over, Amru lo avadav, and his servants tell him, Gozor alehem gozero, you should pass laws. You're in charge here, make laws for this nation. Amar alehem, so the king tells them, kishiyakabluet malchuti egzor alehem. When they accept me as their ruler, then I can make laws. Shia malchuti lo yikabluet, because they don't accept my authority, gozero lo yikabluet, then any specific laws I make, they're not going to accept. Kachamara makam li Yisrael, so to Hashem tells me Yisrael, anochi Hashem lokecha, and then lo yelacha. That if I am the one that you accept in my authority in general, not anything specific, just saying you are our God, we are servants of Hashem. That's what happened when we left Egypt and Amru Kain, and they accepted that. They said yes. Then step two is accepting the laws. So this is the way the Pachad Yitzchak puts it. Source 7. There are two different things happened to Bnei Israel. Nigalum and Agalut, they were redeemed from the exile when they were in Egypt, Yoshuat Eretz Canaan, and they inherited the land. Ruim Anu, and we see here, Ki Af Alpi, Shebishat Hitavut Hadavarim, So when things started, Israel leaves Egypt. Nimsa dagap in Atayim. There was a middle stage. Between when they're redeemed and they entered. They had this period in the wilderness between the Geula, when they were no longer subject to the Egyptians, they were now the servants of Hashem, and when they actually entered the land. But after they enter the land and they become a nation there, there's no middle ground. Meaning that if they are exiled, and that being exiled from the land, ejected from the land, includes in it going back into Galut. If they lose the land of Eretz Yisrael, then they lose that relationship being Avadim to Hashem. There isn't any going back into the Midbar, this kind of half state. Rav Huttner was a Talmud of Rav Kook, very much a Zionist, at least intellectually. I don't know how much he wasn't a fan of the actual government, but he felt that Eretz Yisrael was where you had to be to be a true Eved Hashem. So Hefseh Medregat Kedushat Ha'aretz, losing that level of having the holiness of the land, when we lose that, then we also end up back being subject to other nations, no longer subject to Hashem. Amnam. So, to summarize, in truth, HaKnesi La'aretz Haitam Min HaBar, that entering the land was from the wilderness. But if we're ejected from the land, when we go into exile, ain he mikia chazar al midbar. We're not ejected into a wilderness that's owned by nobody. We end up subject to a different nation. That's what galut means. So therefore, the introduction, which talks about leaving Egypt and rejecting the acts of Canaanites when we come into Eretz Yisrael, that actually is summarized in the end when it talks about don't do this or you will be ejected from the land. The onus shel hakada aretz, because the punishment of being ejected from the land, bityachesu af el azarak shel kmasei eretz Mitzrayim lo tasu. It's also related to the idea of don't do what you saw in Mitzrayim. This relationship with Mitzrayim is we rejected Mitzrayim and accepted the malchut of Hashem. Just like it's related to the idea of not doing what the Canaanites do, which is the idea of all the gezerot of that, which were the specific acts that we're supposed to do, specific laws in these two different levels. So that what Rav Huttner says further on in there is that going into Eretz Yisrael, it's al yedei hachnesiel Eretz Yisrael heim ba'im l'makom havodah mamash. That entering Eretz Yisrael is where they can actually do the avodah. Leaving Egypt is the Kablu Malchuti. You are now my nation. But you can't do anything about that. In Eretz Yisrael, they can do something about that. So that's the Kamasei Eretz Mitzrayim. Don't reject that. If you start going back to Masei Eretz Mitzrayim, then you're rejecting Malchuti. If you start doing Kamasei Eretz Canaan, then you're rejecting Gzerotai, all my laws. And he has another mashal. So we're saying, Matzav Erusin Mekinei Yishut. This is just like the idea of an engagement in the laws of marriage. Sha'af al-pi, sheben madrigat pnuya b'rishut atzma, v'ben madrigat nusya b'vet abal, that between being single and being married, there's this intermediate stage, which you call erusin, engagement. Yeshem madrigat shel erusin. Yikol makom, still, lo yitaken, kil achar nusyin, that if the marriage chasson breaks apart, tikaresh rak min ha-madrigat ha-nosepet shel nusya, you don't just break the marriage side of it, that we're together, but you don't go back to being engaged. That's true in halacha. In Missouri law, there's a concept of a legal separation. So Marshall doesn't work there. But his idea is that if we break the marriage, then it's all broken. It doesn't go back to the state of Erusina being engaged, but still dedicated to this one person. And this is because even though Nisun Erusin, called the marriage engagement, are two different stages, this only is true when the marriage is starting. But once that's happened, once they're married, then this level of Erusin engagement is part of the Nisuin. They can't be separated. Bitul Nisuin, Kolel B'tochot, Bitul Yerusin. And losing one means losing the other. So too, the introduction to Arayat, to the this introductory paragraph to the concluding paragraph, the same idea. That we left Egypt, then we may have to Eretz Yisrael, but if we lose either of those, we lose both of those. And I thought that was a very interesting way of looking at it. It's much bigger than Arayat. This entire has to do with our entire relationship to Hashem. Like I said, it's a very, very tzioni idea that really can. Really not doing the mitzvot if we're not in Eretz Yisrael. But he goes further, because he talks about our own relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the same idea. So source 9. Name Toratam Shel Kedushei Elyon. So is we learn from the Torah of the Holy Ones. He's not giving any specific sources, so I don't know who he's quoting here. General rule, Lamana, we learn, Yichol Divrei Torah Nog'im Hem V'chol Darot V'chol Zmanim. That all the words of Torah apply all times, every generation. And everything applies to the general holiness of Knesset Yisrael, of all the community of Israel. In general, they're also relevant to each of us as individuals. Same ideas. In an individual, in a specific way. So then it's clear. So that even though this idea of being exiled from Eretz Yisrael and losing the level of being redeemed from Egypt as well, this is part of the process of the community of Israel, of Bnei Israel as a nation. It's not, I don't personally get exiled if I do something wrong. Still, there is a parallel to these processes. That they have parallels to our own personal connection to Hashem. And that connection is in how we deal with tshuva. What does Avera do to us? And he starts with Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Tell us something about heresy, meaning, if I'm rejecting my relationship to Hashem, that's very hard to do tshuva from. And that's what the Gemara says. It's verse 10. The Pasuk in Mishlei is Kol ba'eha lo yishuvun. Those who go to her will never return, lo yasigu or chachayim, and will never achieve the ways of life. And the her in Mishlei refers to wisdom. The good woman is Torah, wisdom. The bad woman in Mishlei is parable for heresy, radical ideas. That's why Steinsaltz puts it on this, interpret Kol ba'eha as mivinin chachamim, hi yesha hazu hi haminut. That when it says those who go to her, meaning heresy, they cannot do tshuva, they cannot return, and they will not achieve life. When you see gun orchot chayim, not achieve the ways of life. And we're looking at that and ask, and if they can't do tshuva, what does it mean they won't achieve the ways of life? Ways of life for Torah. If they're not doing tshuva, then obviously they're not going to. Like, come on, this is what it means. If they try to do tshuva, they will not achieve life. They cannot do tshuva, even if they try, not in this lifetime. That tshuva is something that's so hard to get to. If you have no relationship to Hashem, if you rejected everything, that's what minut really means. A single avera you can still do tshuva for. And this is the way the Mechtav Meliyahu, Eliyahu Dessler puts it, with this idea, that because tshuva is hard, you can't do it on your own. Turning back after doing something wrong, changing is hard. Nei klal biyadena, we have a general principle. If you open, make an opening the size of a point of a needle, I will open as the opening of a hall. Hashem is going to help us do tshuva. We just have to start it. The rest of it, we get help with. When we start, we will get this divine influence, this divine help with tochlu be'enu. Mamash, and within our own hearts. We can do tshuva as long as we start. Hashem will help us go the rest of the way. Okay, Metshuva, Yeshinian, we have similar idea in two in general. Shuva Elai, Meshuva Lechem, return to me and I will return to you. It becomes it's a back and forth. Hashem Yitbarach, Mashpil Lev, Hashav, or a Tshuva Hagumura. Hashem will give to a heart that tries a Tshuva the help to do real Tshuva entirely. That's how a Baal Tshuva will awaken the right to justice from above. Hashem will help us do tshuva. Well, this shayach rak tshuva to, or your to, is penuminiti. When your tshuva is sincere, it's inside. Kshroma, and there's some kind of connection to that which is above. Hashem came, shabuyach at the end, but it's not true if you have sins that dacho is a yira, milibo, you don't have any of the yirat Hashem in your heart at all. I ki nifsak a kesha chas v'shal. If you lose all that connection, then it's not there. And that's why tshuva is so hard if you don't have any connection to Hashem. But then anything you try to do tshuva, it's all external. It's not real. It doesn't awaken this light of tshuva. You don't have that help. And that's why the Gemara says there is no do tshuva specifically from Mina, from heresy, from losing the connection to Hashem. The Gemara, after introducing that idea, continues on. That this idea that tshuva is hard, you can't survive doing that. That even if you really want to, without that help from Hashem, it's not going to happen. That only happens by minut, by heresy. And the Gemara continues, verse 12. May avera lo. It's not true for other sins. But Tanya, we have a famous story, famous braita. Amra lav al Rabbi Elazar ben Dordia. Famously known, and everyone knows Elazar ben Dordia, famous story of it, who says, Shalom hiniach zona achat ba'olam. Never missed a harlot in the world. He looked at the Sefer Arayot in our Parsha and thought of them as his bucket list. He would go through every single one, make sure he does every single thing on that list. Shalom ba'ala, didn't go to her. Pamachat shamashi zona achat, because he heard about some harlot, bekrach hayam, bar on the seashore, you know, tell it, kis dinarin bishara, who was very expensive, whole purse of silver coins. Very excited, natal kis dinarin balach bavar aleh shiva naharot, he went over seven rivers to go find her, bishat hergel davar, and at the moment, as when they were doing that which she usually did, the Gemara is not going to go into details, and no, you should not use your imagination here, heificha, which literally means she passed gas. Right, the exciting moment. And at that moment, she is divinely inspired. Amra, she says, Kishem shapicha ezu enya chazer. Just like this, gas will never go back. L'mekomat, where it came from. Kach Elazar ben Dordia, ein mekabon oto b'tshuva. So too, Elazar ben Dordia will never be able to do tshuva from all these sins he's done. And he's so shocked. But yeah,
she was inspired to say that Ruach HaKodesh. She got the.
This is a story. I don't have to tell you. She suddenly says, as she's doing whatever it is she's doing, she looks at him and says, "You will never be able to do tshuva." I have to assume that this is some kind of inspiration. Whether she said he heard it, let's put it that way.
Okay.
He responded. His response was to run out of there. And I didn't put the whole story, and he asks for help from everyone, from the mountains, from the seas, nothing. And he can't stop. He now, at this point, he realized what everything he's been doing is wrong, and he cannot stop. And then eventually, Amar Eina Avar Talui Ela B. And he says, it all depends on me. He niach Rosher ben Birkav, puts his head between his knees, and cried out, and tears, Asha Yatsta Nishmato. And dies. Yatsta bat kov amra, and a voice comes from heaven and says, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordia, he now gets the Rebbe on his name, Muzuman l'chayel haba, inherited olam haba. His tshuva is now accepted. But with his death, his tshuva is accepted. So that's the story of someone who was not a min. He did not reject a relationship with Hashem. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He was doing it. He was so attached to it that he couldn't stop, but still, his tshuva was not accepted until the ends of his life. And he, this was this was not Mina, this was a different sin, and he still died. So Hatam Nami, so there also, it's the same idea. Kevan da Avik Beituva, since he was so enwrapped in it, engrossed in it, Kaminatani, that becomes like Minut, in that sense that you're so stuck to that. And that no, Tshuva no longer became possible for him. So why is that? So again, Rav Huttner gives another mashal. This is not a king. This has to do with farming. Source 13. And if you want to illustrate this, that we have these two kinds of averot that are so serious that tshuva is impossible, that we reject Hashem and Hashem rejects us. There's minut, and then there's this avera that is the avik beit tuva, that you're so attached to, you can't let go of it.
What is chushit?
Palpable. I'm going to give you an example that you can feel, you can imagine.
Right.
It can be sensed. As alena lahalot et tmuna, we need to elevate the image. We need to bring up the image. We need to bring an image of an actual yoke. So about the yoke of heaven, but we're going to imagine that we're actually farmers. We're farming with our cows. And we're looking at this yoke, and atun al gabav shel choresh, it's put on the back of the ox that's doing the plowing. On atun hu al gabav shel choresh, the yoke is put on the ox. B'chdei she'al yado shel ha'ol, so that with this yoke timshach ha'macharesha acharat, so it pulls the plow. That's how I do get my plowing done. Im ha'choresh eno zaz b'mkomo. If the plower doesn't move, ox is stubborn, stays put, refuses to pull on the yoke, then you're not going to get any plowing done. Okay, similarly, if the ox shakes off the yoke from its neck, steps on it, breaks it, and then the plowing won't get done either. But there's a difference between the two cases. So the difference between these two things, that the second aspect, that the plower is in a position, the ox cannot complete the plowing. Doesn't have the yoke on at all. The first case, the ox stops, you get it moving, and the plowing can continue. But here, there's not mukhshar lechresha, it's not possible to plow. The first way, it's not that that plowing is impossible, there's a lack of ability to plow. The plow is not happening. It can start again pretty easily. But Hashem, so in this model, in our service to Hashem, the first idea, any sin we do something wrong, in order to stop doing something wrong, you just stop doing that and you're done. The second idea is what happens with heresy. If we lose a relationship with Hashem, deny the whole idea of a mitzvah, and even if we do something, we're still not doing it as a mitzvah. We need to bring all of that back. So we go from Rishon Yishkan Chisron Avodah. The first way, there's a lack of serving Hashem. The second problem of Minut is one where it's not possible to serve Hashem. That's why tshuva is so much harder. There's a lot more to go through. But there's a step that's between the two. That what happens is that the ox refuses to plow and continues to refuse to plow. And now it happens. Now the plow rusts. Rots away. The bindings rot away. Shafa pisha ol natunhu. So even though the yoke's still there, and the ox hasn't rejected the yoke, agabav chochay, it's still on the back. It's still impossible to get back to the plowing. If the ox refused to plow for that long, it becomes again impossible to even get back to the plowing. So I got beinayimzu, this middle ground. This is the model, Oto Matsav Asher Bevet Hashem. This is what happens when someone is serving Hashem, and a krimlo aduk ba'avera tuva, someone who's stuck to a mitzvah, who's addicted to the avera. Someone who just can't let go of this one averish. Afa pish ein kan prikat ol. Even though you're not rejecting, you know it's wrong. You're saying, okay, this is aver, I know that. Yesh kan chisur hechshar avoda. It's impossible for you to get back to doing the right thing. Given to adik bu kamina dumya. Once you're stuck in it, then it's the same as the heresy in the sense of that tshuva is, if not impossible, nearly impossible.
Aduk is the word for the Pachad Yitzchak. Is that
that right? So the Gemara uses the word avik. He definitely wears the word aduk, which means enwrapped in, I think.
What was the word?
Wrapped.
Wrapped.
Wrapped in something. Okay. Surrounded by. Yeah, so he's not quoting the Gemara exactly. The Gemara uses the word avik in the sense of avik to struggle with.
Right.
Either way, aduk be kaminut. It's like being aduk, being stuck in. Once you're, I'm going to use the word addicted to something, then it's the same as the meaning in the heresy that you've taken away the possibility of tshuva from that. That's he says, haved hetev, you should understand this. So that the parallel there is that brings us back to the parsha, that all these sins of arayot, they're not meaning. You know, you can do that. As out of taiva, out of desire, was still acknowledging, okay, this is wrong, but I really want this. But they're so easily seen as normal, and they're so reinforcing that it's easy to get in the state of being addicted. And that has the same effect as rejecting relationship with Hashem entirely.
Can I interrupt again?
Yeah.
I do, can Google Translate says it's devout or pious. Doesn't sound like something negative. A duke here sounds negative.
Right, so he's using the word here, aduk ba'avera tuva. Tuva means a lot in Aramaic. So he is, okay, so he's pious in his sinning.
Oh, okay.
Religiously going to all these zonim, zonot.
Right.
Yeah, clearly that is a negative term here.
Right.
And that's what basically happens to Bnei Yisrael in the land. That they didn't reject Hashem per se, but they adopt the culture of Canaan. So it's not that they did Masei Eretz Mitzrayim and go back to rejecting the original Hashem, but Masei Eretz Mitzrayim, Masei Eretz Canaan, though, was all these arayot, and they were so steeped in it that it was impossible for them to let go of it. And that's when they get to the point where Hashem says, you're not letting go of this. There was no point and bring you to Eretz Israel, because you're the same as the Canaanim, and I'm going to eject you from the land. And because of that, they lose the connection to Hashem as well by being exiled from the land, and they lose that sense of Gulat Mitzrayim as well. So they, by doing Kamasei Eretz Canaan, they're basically doing Kamasei Eretz Mitzrayim at the same time, and that's what the exile came from. And then he concludes, they're just like in as individuals. Ha'adikut, again.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's a being wrapped in. You must be religious, being religious about your aver, about your sins. It turns this desire, this lust, which in sense is not really removing the yoke, but it's effectively the same thing because it's impossible to get it back to work. It turns it into a prikat ol, removing the yoke of Hashem. I think it should be a lamed there. I use my OCR for this. With Knesset Yisrael, through the community of Israel as a whole, Yishtashrut ba'avera, when sin becomes so rooted in them, to the point that Hashem says, you're exiled from the land and you lose Eretz Yisrael. It turns this, their victory over the seven nations, which is the fact that they got into Eretz Canaan, and when they lose that, when they're ejected from the land, it turns that into Nitzchonam Shel Arba Malchut. And you connect that to the idea of the four kingdoms that exiled Bnei Israel. Those two go together. If I lose the land, then I lose the independence. I'm no longer a nation. I'm no longer a nation of Hashem. And there, Shema Mishav Dimet Yisrael, that they enslave Israel. So Trimet Mahutam to Yisrael, but Torah of Hashem. They completely take away this identity